Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Boldly Pursuing podcast. I am your host, Caitlin Henderson. Here we have conversations with friends who are stepping out and doing what God has called them to do in order to help encourage you to do the same. On today's podcast, we have my friend Michaela Albertson talking about her new book, Ordinary on Purpose, Surrendering Perfect and Discovering Beauty Amid the Rebel. Man, you guys, Michaela's story is just so, so powerful, and I cannot wait for you guys to hear this conversation. So here is my chat with Michaela. Hi, Michaela. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you could come on and visit with us today. To get started, do you want to kind of introduce yourself and tell us who you are and a little bit about you?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Michaela Albertson. I am married 20 years to my high school sweetheart. I have 5 children who are growing up so quickly. My oldest will be a senior next year, and my youngest will be going to kindergarten. So we're kind of entering this new phase. I am a family practice physician, and I have, over the last few years, become a mostly stay-at-home mom. So I work very, very part-time, a couple shifts a month, and most of the time I'm taking care of these kids. So,
yeah, that's a full-time job. I feel like our youngest is starting kindergarten next year, too. It's such a weird phase to be done with, like, toddlers, you know.
Yes.
I still find myself saying that I'm a mom of littles, and yeah. I'm like, well, I mean, they're still little to me, but like,
yeah,
you know, I'm like, I'm kind of like a mom of like middles now. I'm like, I don't know how to make this transition. It's a really weird transition.
Yeah,
like that baby hitting kindergarten is just like a, I don't know, there's something different there when that baby hits kindergarten.
Agree. And I'm getting the question a lot now, what are you going to do next year?
Oh.
When Lizzie goes to school, what are you going to do? And so, yeah, it's a different place. I've had little kids, preschoolers, little kids for 17 years now.
Yeah.
And so it's, my answer mostly to that question is, I don't know.
Yeah. And that's okay. I feel like that is totally fine. We do not, you know, there's too much pressure on us to feel like we have to know, you know? So, okay, well, Michaela, you had a new book come out, Ordinary on Purpose. Oh, my goodness. I was reading through it last night. And do you want to share first, like, a little bit about your story, but then, like, what made you open up and share this story? Because you went in hard and fast on this book.
I did. So it's called Ordinary on Purpose, Surrendering Perfect and Discovering Beauty Amid the Rebel. And I think I decided to write about ordinary. I'm so interested in the idea of really embracing the ordinary parts of life, because it seems like the world has a lot of messaging that life should be really bright and shiny and happy and easy and really perfect in so many ways. And when I look around at my life, it feels pretty regular. It feels pretty ordinary. And I didn't really come to the realization how beautiful that is, how blessed I am to live really regular, ordinary days. Until I had sort of spent some time down in the pit, you know, I think you realize what a gift that is, an ordinary day, when you've had some time in some really hard days. So I write about my husband's struggle with drugs and alcohol. He is 13 years clean and sober, but I really open up about the 7 years that we spent married when he was really struggling. And it was sort of through that time that I came to look at my childhood and my history of sexual abuse as a kid and really how that shaped me, I think, and how it made me a really great codependent for someone who struggles with addiction or other issues. So I wanted to share really openly about those because I know how many people have been in similar situations or other hard situations. And we're just kind of walking around trying to hide those things, trying to have the shiny exterior. And I sort of wanted it to be permission that, yeah, I'm really messy too. And there's a lot of beauty here in the rubble.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you said about, you know, you're right that the world, I think the world is really uncomfortable with people who are hurting. And there's this pressure that you shouldn't be hurting or you shouldn't be in the pit. And I mean, even just a couple weeks ago, we lost my husband's grandpa, who we were all extremely close mm-hmm. with. And 3 days later was my 30th birthday. And I have three kids who just went through their first loss with someone they spent probably 20 hours a week with, you know, they were his whole world. And just 3 days later, we were supposed to have this huge 30th birthday party for me. Obviously it got canceled and just like all of these things. And I had shared that it was just like a hard day. Like I was just having a hard time being happy on my birthday. And I had so many messages from people on Facebook and Instagram who were like, no, you need to be happy. I mean, people were just sat like flat out saying, you need to not be sad today. And I'm like, but my grandpa just died like 3 days ago. Like, we haven't even buried him yet. And it was like, but why? Why can't I be sad today? Like, and I really appreciate people like you and people who open up and share the hard parts, because it is permission that, no, everyone in this world is hurting and we don't need to cover it up. But I was reading, and I love when you were talking about a day you were really struggling and someone could see it and they said, you know, is everything okay? And that inside you wanted to scream, no, everything is not okay. And then you said, yeah, everything's fine. And then you said, oh, there it is. That's what we're supposed to say. So will you touch on that a minute? Because I think every single one of us can relate to that moment of, yeah, everything's fine.
Yeah. So at the time when everything was really, really bad, I was in the middle of my family practice residency, which is a lot of time and a lot of hours at the hospital. I had two little kids at home who were, well, when my husband got clean and sober, they were 3 and 1. So they would have been little babies. And it was like trudging through the hospital, sometimes just getting to the next thing. And I remember that there'd been a fight or there'd been something that happened the day before. And I had an attending just say, are you okay? And I just gave the regular response that we give, you know, like, oh, I'm fine. And I guess I'm just tired. And it took me a long time to ever be able to answer that question honestly. And sometimes I still don't. I mean, sometimes you don't just unload on anybody who asks you that question. But what a gift it is to just say, I'm really not okay. I'm really struggling. This is what's happening. So I went through most of that time having never told any of the attendings or any of the people who could have been supportive to me any of the truth of what was going on. I just tried to carry it all. And I think I could have had a lot of help and a lot of support had I actually ever told the truth.
Yeah. I love what you were saying right after that in the book, talking about, you know, we assume that if we share our real and our messy, all the ways that people will, you know, judge us or maybe not like us. What do you think? I guess, what's your encouragement to people who feel like they can't open up and share their real messy?
Well, I think we do sometimes get responses like, oh, just be happy, or you're so blessed, or, you know, focus on the positives. So those will come, I think. And sometimes mm-hmm. that feels like, oh, I shouldn't have shared. But yeah. For the most part, I think by far and away, anytime I've been honest and I've really just let the truth come out and sort of peeled back the layers so people can see the inside, most of the time I hear me too. And then they have permission to share something. And so I think the encouragement is you'll be surprised, I think, at the responses that you'll get and how that deepens your relationships and how I think you live in just a much more real and gritty way when you can share the truth of who you are.
Yeah, I also think it helps you really find your community because, you know, it's kind of a hard truth, but you will have people that judge you when you yeah. open up and share. You know, you're going to have people that talk about you behind your back and gossip. But like you said, then you're going to have those people, though, that they have permission to open up and share their hurt because you went first and you were brave. And I love that. I still, you know, remember that I hated being vulnerable online. And then the first time that I felt really convicted to open up and share a struggle. And it was like, it felt like the first time I was actually connecting with these women that I was wanting to encourage, but it was like this, the floodgates opened and all these women saying, oh my gosh, like me too, I'm not alone. And so I feel like even though you're going to have those people that, you know, will judge you or talk about you, it seems like there's always good though that comes from it. There is someone that's going to have permission to share their story because you went first, or there is someone that's going to be encouraged or feel less alone, even if they're not telling you that.
Yeah. And I think that's when I tend to get a personal message, you know, not something yeah. that's just in the comments or something, but a personal message where someone mm-hmm. will reach out and say, thank you for sharing that. And then they'll share part of their story.
Yeah. Okay, Michaela, you share this concept about how perfection feels like you're balancing a stack of heavy boxes, and each box is labeled with different expectations and identities. So will you talk about that? And then like, how do we start to let that go?
Yeah, I think life will always have hard things, and we'll always have these bits and pieces that make up who we are, you know, how we were raised or what our family life was like or different events and circumstances. And for me, I really didn't want to embrace any of those issues. They didn't seem shiny enough or allowed, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I described them as boxes that are boxed up so that I could control who could see them and I could control, you know, what I let people know about me. And I think that stack just got heavier and heavier and heavier. And it's really interesting because I was just this morning listening to the radio on the way to take my kids to school. And I think that it was Levi Lesko came on and was talking about the paralytic and his mat. And, you know, he'd been unable to walk for what, 40 years or something.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus came and asked if he wanted to be made well and then said, pick up your mat. And he took the time to really point out that he wanted him to carry that mat forward and that that was his sort of sign of healing. I used to not be able to walk and now I'm going to carry this mat around and I'm going to talk about how I was healed. And so for me, like, putting down the boxes and actually carrying what's inside so that people can see and hear about it. I am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. I live with a husband who is now clean and sober from alcohol, but there were a lot of really hard years there and still some tendencies I think that both of us have that we struggle with to carry them as a sign of your healing and your relationship with Jesus and how you've been able to surrender and let people see instead of keeping it all boxed up inside.
Do you remember the first time that you really opened up and shared that you weren't okay? Like, what did that feel like?
I think I came to a place where I just couldn't carry it anymore. And so my husband was in rehab. And so I was single parenting two little boys and still trying to go to school. And I really hadn't opened up to anybody much, maybe my family just a little bit, but very much like, it'll be fine. I've got it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember going into work while he was gone and I'd missed a couple of days and that attending was like, where have you been? Cause I didn't call in. I just didn't show. It was the first time I'd ever just not shown. One day I actually drove there and I couldn't make myself go into the hospital. So I remember just telling him and his face was like, oh. And he didn't really have much to say except, you know, just some support. And I remember thinking, like, why have I just been carrying this around this whole time when I could just tell people how I'm struggling?
Yeah.
And so it really felt like I let myself off the hook a little bit. And I do have to, you know, like I said, there's times for telling those truths and times when you, you know, keep it in to yourself a little bit, depending on the situation.
Yeah.
But Al-Anon was really a place where I could go and just talk. Those support meetings were really helpful to me because there was a whole room full of people telling really similar truths.
Yeah. How hard was it to tell those truths in the form of a book where, you know, I mean, anyone and everyone can read it and it's there on paper. I mean, that's a big step.
Yeah. I think when I wrote the book, I started out writing it just for me. I didn't know if it would ever actually be a book. I just felt like writing had become so healing to me. And so I just started by telling the stories that I needed to tell. Mm. And then I think once I went through and started editing, it became something a little bit different where I wanted it to be for other people who needed to read it. And so it sort of morphed over time into being, how can this story help others? But I started out really just for me. It was really hard. Mm-hmm. And as it got more real, as I got a book contract and was like, wow, this is really happening now.
I mean, and then, you know, there's no going back.
There's no going back. It was really pretty scary. It was interesting. I had to have several people sign release forms saying that they were okay with me telling some of the stories that were in there.
Yeah.
So that was kind of an interesting thing, but my goodness, it feels like such a relief to just now walk around as the person who I actually am.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it just feels like a lot of relief, actually.
So, I don't remember who said it. Maybe it was Jenny Allen. I talked one time about, you know, shame loves to hide in the darkness. And when we bring it to light and we let other people in, it's not in the dark anymore and it loses its power. And I feel like that's true. You know, when it comes to light, it really loses a lot of that grip that it has on us.
And I talk a little bit in there and I sort of come back to her a lot about the little girl in me. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I've taken forward, I think, even into today. How would I address her and how would I treat her? Those were things I didn't used to think about. I was often not very kind to myself on the inside. But now that I think about her, and that's something that I was really cognizant of as I wrote the book, like, these are her stories that I'm telling. And as I go forward, she should have no shame at all. Mm. And so I've sort of taken her by the hand, I think, as I've gone through, and that really helps me let go of any shame or fear about it.
Yeah. You said something a few minutes ago when you said you had really come to your breaking point when everything just felt too heavy. And I don't know if everyone's had that moment. I know I have had that moment. And I mean, kind of like you, I hit the floor. You talk in here about, you know, when you hit that moment, you literally hit the floor. You drop to your knees. And you said in there, I related to this so much. You were talking about how so many times you had prayed, and I had done this too, where you tell God you're handing everything over, but you really don't, you know, you pick it back up. And then when you have that moment where you can't carry it all anymore and it does get too heavy, and then you hit the floor and you have that moment of fully surrendering. This just popped in my head. I'm thinking about this. I almost wonder if everyone needs that moment. It's such a hard moment to have to get to, but I feel like reading about your experience and then knowing from my own experience, like, that's when everything changed though. Like, that was the moment that changed it all. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so too. I wanted to be really careful in the book so that it doesn't sound like I used to be this, and then this happened and I surrendered. And now I've got it all figured out.
Yes.
So I definitely had a surrender moment. And I sort of describe that in part one and part two of the book. I feel like that was a turning point for me for sure. And I've always been, I think, a spiritual person, but to hit my knees and raise my hands and say, I'm giving this to you, is not really something I could have ever seen myself doing, but that's how it went. And yeah. I'm giving this to you. So I'm done now. I can't carry it anymore. And I'm giving it to you. And then I realized, though, that often I have to continue to surrender. So I may not have had a hit my knees moment again, but definitely I have to come to really painful moments still about motherhood or career or, you know, relationships and continue to hand it over. So I think I learned how in that moment. That's how I learned how.
Yes. And I think that's really important to what you said, that hitting that moment doesn't necessarily change our circumstances.
No.
I mean, like in my situation, it was when our middle son was like between 2 and 3 and no doctor could figure out what was wrong with him. We didn't even know if he was going to make it. I mean, it was, we thought we were just watching him slowly die in front of us and no one could figure out what was wrong. And, you know, as a mom, you can't do anything, you know, like I can't heal my child. And that was my moment of hitting the floor saying, this child is yours. Like, you love him more than I do. I cannot heal him, but I can trust you with him. And it didn't make him well all of a sudden. It didn't, you know, it didn't miraculously heal him, but it lifted the burden off of my heart to carry that. So I do think that is important, that when we have those moments, people know that that doesn't mean God steps in and miraculously changes everything. And, you know, maybe sometimes he does, but in my situation and yours, I think it's more about what it does inside of us more than what it does to our outside circumstances.
And I definitely felt that burden lift. And so it was suddenly, well, I guess I can be a single mom of two little boys, or maybe we'll stay married. It was very much like, I can't think of all the outcomes and point us toward the one that I want anymore. And so I'm just going to let go. And it was still really hard, and nothing changed for 6 months or so before, you know, at least. And even then, as he started out in early sobriety, there were years of struggle and hardship. So, but I think I carried it in a different way.
Yeah.
And that idea of daily surrender, I think, became a little bit more of a reality for me.
Yeah.
I think I'll always struggle there. I'm really good at control and taking things back.
You lay something at the foot of the cross and you're like, you know, actually, I'm just going to pick that up for a little bit. I'll give it back tomorrow. But today, just I'm going to carry that.
Yep.
I think we all struggle with that. But it is nice to know that other people struggle with that. And it's not a one-time thing, because every day we have new things pop up that we have to surrender. Or again, that weight would pile up and we would end up right back where we were. But so you talk a lot about this idea of surrendering perfection. What do you say to someone who's never done that before? Like, how do we start that?
That's a tough question. I think I still struggle there a lot, because I am an achiever. And, you know, it was so funny. I talked about this all kind of through the book process. I've written this book about surrendering perfect, and I would really like the book launch to go perfectly.
Oh my gosh. Like,
I want to do it right. I want to get it to the right people, and I want to say the right things, and I want to. And so it is a constant struggle for me. And it comes back to, I got to turn things over. So I think prayer has been really important for me. I many, many times have just said, if you would like me to write this book, God, can you please just get it to where it's supposed to go, or take me to the right people? So for me, surrendering perfect is a daily choice, because I think I will always have the tendency to, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it really well, and I'm going to try to make it as perfect as possible, you know? So I think a lot of prayer and a lot of just daily surrender is how we step out of that perfectionism trap.
Hey friends, just taking a quick break to tell you about Perfect Supplements. So over the last couple of years, I have been kind of documenting my health journey on Instagram and how I've really kind of switched over to trying to holistically heal my body and turning to more natural practices and trying to get to the root of my endometriosis and all of these things, right? And I get a lot of questions about the supplements that I'm taking and what I'm doing. And I'm not on a ton of supplements, but the ones that I am on, I get from Perfect Supplements. Supplements matter, guys. Like, what you're putting in your body matters. I trust Perfect Supplements. I've done my research on them. So for instance, like the vitamin C that I take, it comes from like real whole food ingredients. Like if you look at their ingredients, it's apples, beets, carrots, cherries, blueberries, garlic, green onion, like that's it. It's real food. I get my collagen from them, my beef gelatin to make homemade gummies, which by the way, if you've never done that, it's delicious. You should try it. But so many things. Basically, any vitamins or supplements that we do take, we get from Perfect Supplements. So I reached out and I was able to get a code for you guys. If you go to perfectsupplements.com and you use the code Caitlin, C-A-I-T-L-I-N, you can get 10% off your order. Plus something really cool that they do is like the more you buy, the bigger discount you get. And oh, I gotta tell you guys, beef liver supplements. I mentioned this on Instagram and some of you thought I was crazy. And some of you were like, beef liver changed my life. So I was actually eating raw beef liver every day, swallowing it like a pill, just a little chunk of it. You might be thinking that's disgusting, but beef liver is literally like a superfood. It has so many nutrients packed into it per ounce. It is incredible for your body. But I was having a hard time remembering to take it every day. And honestly, it was kind of gross. I'm not gonna lie. It was kind of gross. So Perfect Supplements has desiccated beef liver that's in a capsule. So you just take it like a pill. You don't taste it. It's amazing. All of the same health benefits. You can go read about beef liver and what a superfood it is, how good it is for you. But we get those from Perfect Supplements also. So I wanted to tell you guys about that because I get asked so much about my health journey and the things that I'm doing. So I wanted to tell you guys that and get you guys a code. So again, go to perfectsupplements.com and put in the code Caitlin, C-A-I-T-L-I-N. All right, now back to our show. Do you think it's a hope to us as believers, the fact that we will never be perfect and our lives are messy and raw, but that Jesus is perfect?
Yeah, I think I imagine a lot of times as I pray, I sort of imagine Jesus standing there with me or sitting beside me. And I imagine that he just has this look like I have for my kids sometimes when you're waiting, like, oh, you're tying your shoe and you're just standing there like happy to help whenever they need some help. And it's so cute and it's so sweet to watch them struggle and try. And I just imagine that he's looking at me like that a lot. Like,
oh yeah,
I'm ready to help you, honey, whenever you want to hand it over to me, not in an impatient, like tapping your foot kind of way, but in, I am perfect. I've got it for you, but I'm going to wait till you're ready to hand it over to me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So this theme, this finding the ordinary, how do you do that in the everyday? How do you find beauty in the ordinary of just the everyday things?
Yeah, I'm really noticing that a lot now as I'm sort of winding down my last few weeks at home with Lizzie before summer and all the kids, and she's going to go to school. And so I think I just have this little glimpse of this is sort of an ending. And so that really helps me to be present. But I also talk in the book about some of my stories practicing medicine. And I tell this story about a woman named Kendra, who was a young mom, and she had a huge stroke during the time that I was caring for her. And I think that sometimes being there with people who are really struggling through life-changing events, you know, when they get the diagnosis, when the tragedy hits, when the, you know, whatever life-changing thing happens. I think learning from her and from those patients that what they want in that moment is not perfect. They don't really care about achievements. What they want is one more ordinary day. You know, they just want like a regular day with pancakes and, you know, whatever, books with kids on your lap or just those normal things. And so sometimes when I'm in the middle of one of those moments, I'll be reminded of her or others who I've watched that she was not going to have another ordinary day. Mm-hmm. And so I think I get those little reminders of how magical those moments are when you're in them.
Yeah, absolutely. I know even for us, you know, lately our kids have been talking about, you know, grandpa, because, you know, they've gone 2 weeks without seeing him now. And they spent so much time with him, and the memories that they keep talking about every day are the most simple things, you know, talking about just sitting in the Suburban and watching the cows with him for hours. And I'm like, that is as ordinary as it gets. You know, yes. You're sitting in a vehicle, just visiting and watching the cows with grandpa and eating pretzels, but it is, they talk about it every single day. Like, those are the memories that they keep bringing up, or other little memories of just him eating supper here. And I'm like, that's nothing special, but it is that. Yeah. You're right. That is the ordinary moments that they have just latched onto. And I'm like, we can learn from them. Like, yeah, they got it right.
I think most of our lives are spent doing really ordinary things, making food, cleaning it up, getting kids here and there, doing the laundry. And we don't remember specific things, you know, when it's just the ordinary stuff that blends together, they kind of just fall into the background. But really, that's where most of our lives are lived. And so I just try my best to notice it as it passes.
Yeah. And I feel like lately I have been even, I mean, this is really simple, but I will just think to myself, like, be present, like, as I'm in this ordinary moment. And it shifts your perspective from just mundane to, I'm spending time with my kids as we fold laundry. Like, it is mundane, but it doesn't have to just be mundane, you know, like,
right.
There really is beauty within these little moments. But when we choose to find them and see them, it changes our perspective, and it makes them so much more special. You know, we could fold laundry and be miserable, or we can have a really deep conversation while we're folding laundry. I can tell my babies about Jesus or a story, or, you know, and it's just like finding a way to capture those little moments throughout the day is really changed me the last couple of years, because you open your eyes to, wow, there is actually a lot of power in these little moments throughout the day.
Yeah. And those moments really haven't changed since the beginning of time, I think.
Yeah.
The feeding our people and caring for our people and cleaning up and tending to children, like, those are the same things that have persisted forever.
Yep. Yep. We're not doing anything new.
And for some reason, that's really special to me. And I really like to talk about the word ordinary, because sometimes I think simple living has really become this new buzzword. And I don't think a lot of that feels simple sometimes. No. You know, sometimes that's actually really exhausting or difficult. So I think ordinary leaves a little room for us to feel sad, or for it to be hard, or for us to miss grandpa or something. It is just life. And so I think that way we don't have this pressure to make it really simple and easy. I think ordinary leaves room for hard.
Oh, I love that. Okay, Michaela, so if there was one message, one piece of encouragement that you wanted someone to walk away with after reading your book, what would it be?
This is a tough question for me.
That's like the million-dollar question. I feel like,
you know, the answer is always sort of the same, I think, from anybody who's written or put their story out there. But I think I don't want people to feel like they're alone. Like, you're not the only one who struggles through life, or who hasn't quite figured it out yet, or who has all these terrible, shameful things that happened that you're trying to like gloss over and just, you know, forget about. Or so I think it's that I want people to know that they're not alone, that all of us struggle, that all of us are just really living these regular, ordinary lives. And I think I'm 42 years old and I'm just realizing that, oh, Jesus has been with me this whole time. I've actually never been alone. And I think it's through those struggles that I have realized my relationship with him. And so I just invite people to embrace their messy and sort of wade through their rubble to find the beauty and realize that they've never been alone. They've always been loved and they've never been alone.
I love that. I relate to that so much because kind of like you, you know, I lived my whole life knowing Jesus loves everyone, knowing God loves everyone. But then when it came to me, like for some reason, I thought I was just like excluded from that. Like, not that he hated me, but you know,
you think just a face in the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you kind of have that realization, it's kind of like, oh, wow. But then you're like, why does it take us so long? Because you and I are not the only ones that, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that have said the same thing for so long. You know, it's like, oh, he loves me too. Like, I'm included in that. And then it's just kind of like, wow, that's like a big revelation, I think, that we all go through.
Big revelation. And it's funny because I think no matter how many times you would tell your kids that, I can see, especially in my teenagers, I think, I can see like, I can tell you and tell you and tell you, but I'm realizing you're going to have to go through your own life experience, I think, to find your own personal relationship. So that's so hard to watch as a mom because you think, man, I wish that my own experience or my own stories or just me telling you would be enough. But I think we have to come to that realization somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
Take some time and it takes some life.
Unfortunately. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I know. We wish we could imprint it on them all the way. And it's just, we can't. That's one of those things. We got to surrender it, you know?
Yes.
Lay that down too.
Yes. Yep. That is probably where my biggest piece of surrender is right now, just with bigger kids.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, Michaela, tell everyone where they can find and connect with you, where they can go get a copy of Ordinary on Purpose, all the things.
All right. Well, I'm on Facebook and Instagram as Ordinary on Purpose. I have a website by that same name, ordinaryonpurpose.com. The book is available really anywhere books are sold. It's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. Baker Bookhouse has it at 30% off right now, which makes it about $12.
Awesome. Well, Michaela, thank you so much for coming on today and having this conversation. I just, you know, going back to that theme of we tell our stories so that other people don't feel alone. And yeah, I think this conversation is going to do just that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I had a wonderful time.
Hey friends, I hope you loved this episode of the Boldly Pursuing podcast. And if you have a minute, would you do us a huge favor and head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and a review? That is so helpful for helping new people find the podcast, and we would so appreciate it. Hey friends, until next time, keep boldly pursuing.